greatest giver of all, and that's God. And I want you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. How many has you've been exposed to cooperate with God more since we've been talking about cooperating with the Holy Spirit? You know, I've known that some of you are stepping out more. Amen? Last week, I just asked if people had something to share, and we had about four people share, and it was awesome. It all flowed together, and, you know, God is doing something. And God wants to do something through you. Say that. Say, God wants to do something through me. If you're close to someone, look at that other person and say, God wants to do something through you. And you know, when God does something through you, he's extravagant. Amen? He's able to do more than you could think or speak. And he always exceeds the need. So, in cooperating with the Holy Spirit, you know, he is the power of God. He demonstrates the power of God. And he wants to demonstrate his power through us. And in order to do that, he's given us some gifts. Okay? Let's look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And it says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you what? The Amplified says, I don't want you to be misinformed. How many know that if the Bible says we shouldn't be misinformed about something, we should know some things about the gifts, amen? Yes. And as a teacher of the Word of God, I want to be sure that I teach you about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And notice that these are spiritual gifts, amen? What does a gift do? What can a gift do? It can be, two things can be done with a gift. What two things can be done with a gift? It can be received or given, right? Right. It can be given or received or rejected, right? So when someone prepares a gift, they have someone else in mind, okay? And they take the time to pick out that gift, to prepare the gift, to wrap the gift. Then they give it. How many has ever gotten a gift with a bill? I hope not. Because if you got a gift with a bill, you probably got that person probably got slapped, didn't they? Listen, a gift is just that. It's given. And sometimes you don't need a reason to receive a gift. The giver just loves you so much that he wants to give you something. Amen? Well, you've got a heavenly Father. You've got a God who loves you so much. And he's given us spiritual gifts that we should not be ignorant or we should not be misinformed. You know that when you were Gentiles, carried away, verse 2, unto these dumb idols. Did you know that idols are dumb? It's amazing how many people worship dumb things. You know? I love the story of when the Philistines put the ark in their temple of Dagon. And the next day, they came and Dagon was bowed down before the ark. Then, you know what's funny? They stood the idol up. They stood him back up. How dumb is that? This idol bows down to a box and they got to pick the idol up and they still worship the thing. That's dumb. Then, after they prop their idol back up, they go in the next day and the hands and the head are cut off. And that, you know, because the ark represented the presence of God. So, don't get so attached to idols. All right? He says, Wherefore, I give to you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit will never defame Jesus. He will never speak bad of Jesus. He will never put down Jesus. Everything that the Holy Spirit says always magnifies Jesus, always glorifies Jesus. So if someone is operating by the Spirit of God, they're always going to lift up Jesus. Amen? So if you're operating by the Spirit of God, you're always going to speak well of Jesus. Okay? Verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts. Aren't you glad that we have a creator God? He likes to give you different gifts. Amen? All sorts and all sizes, all shapes, all colors. Okay, there's diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And, you know, the Bible is great. God makes the complex simple. Man makes the simple complex. Okay? So God breaks it down very simple. And he's about to tell us about the different gifts. Okay, they're different gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. How many know that there are different styles of music? You know? But it doesn't matter what style of music you play. It all goes on whole note, half note, quarter note, and it's all, you know, it's all comes from the same source, right? Well, the same thing is true with spiritual gifts. There are different administrations. There are different ways of carrying these, you know, ministering these gifts. Aren't you glad for different ministries? You know, and there is a great diversity in the kingdom of God. Okay? That's why you don't have to pattern yourself after someone else. Don't compare yourself with someone else. You know, I was always, in my younger days, I was a little bit intimidated of preachers that could sing. Because I thought, well, you know, I must not be that great of a preacher if I can't sing. Well, no, I don't have to compare myself. Listen, I do what I do. I let other preachers do what they do. And praise God if they can sing, great. I can rap. Amen? That's a different administration. Okay? And there are diversities of operations. But it is the same God which works all in all. I remember one time I saw a guy in Tulsa, and the Lord used him in blowing and chopping. One day he was praying for someone, and he saw his hand like a flaming sword. And so he would just come behind the back of a person, and he would go like this. And God would use him to break curses. And then he would blow on people. And then God would just manifest his power. Except one time when he blew on a lady, he blew his mint onto her chest. So you just got to be careful how God uses you, amen? You know, I've heard stories of preachers that God told them to punch someone in the stomach. And when they did, that person got healed. So you got to know the voice of God, amen? And you got to be confident in what God has called you and how God uses you. Amen? And just be who God created you to be. Okay? But look at verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to everyone, to every man to profit from. The Amplified says, but to each one is given the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, that is the evidence, the spiritual illumination of the Spirit, for good and for profit. So when God manifests his spiritual gifts, what is his goal? He wants everyone to what? To profit, to benefit, to have good. Amen? When God manifests his spiritual gifts, He's got his body on his mind. Amen? The spiritual gifts are not just for a person, but they're to benefit the body. Okay? So we should all glean some good out of the operation of a spiritual gift. Okay? Now, he goes into the different gifts. So let's read this, verse 8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these work that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as the people will. No, it doesn't say that. So who operates the spiritual gifts? The Holy Spirit. So how can you yield to the Holy Spirit? When, you know what, the best you can do is just stay as full as you can of the Spirit. Amen? Stay as close to God. But I want you to understand, the Holy Spirit operates the gifts as He wills. So in other words, if we need a word of wisdom, okay, God will manifest His presence, and He'll bring forth a word of wisdom, and whoever yields to that, then that person is going to give out that word of wisdom, but that word of wisdom is going to benefit everybody. Amen? So you can't necessarily turn off or on the operation of the gifts, because they're operated as the Spirit wills. But if you have a good relationship with the Holy Spirit, if you know His voice, you are a good candidate to be used by Him. Amen? And listen, you don't have to be a super intellect to be used by God. God used a donkey. Amen? And He used a donkey to speak to Balaam, because if that donkey hadn't spoke, Balaam would have been dead. Okay? So that donkey yielded. God used a fish. That fish protected Jonah in his rebellion. So the key to allowing the Holy Spirit to operate is just to say, here I am, use me. Okay? So we can't necessarily ask God to operate these gifts. He operates them when He needs to. We simply yield to them, okay? For example, if you have a light next to your bed and your room is dark, that light is just waiting to be turned on, okay? That light was created to shine. And all that light needs to be turned on is the flip of a switch. It's already got the power connected, right? It's already plugged in. The bulb is good. Everything's ready. But once that switch is turned on, it shines. Amen? So when the Holy Spirit is moving, you just let Him flip your switch. Okay? Now, there are three categories of gifts. Now, these may be called different things, okay? But it breaks it down into three categories. If you're taking notes, write revelation, okay? There are gifts of revelation, okay? These gifts would be the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits. So category one is the revelation gifts. In other words, they reveal something. They show something. They bring to light something that was hidden, something that was unknown. They make it known, okay? If you've ever been to a play, sometimes plays have those curtains, right? And they have a scene that's set up, and you don't know what that scene is until they pull back the curtain, right? That pulling back of the curtain is like something being revealed. So these are the revelation gifts: word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. Category number two, gifts of power. Go like this. Say, power. All right, you got to flex your spiritual muscle. These gifts are the working of miracles, the gift of faith, and gifts of healing. Okay? What do? They produce the power of God. They cause situations and things to change by the power of God. Now, there's one thing you need to know about all these gifts. They're supernatural. Everybody say supernatural. What's a supercomputer? It's something that's beyond the regular computer. Who's Superman? Don't say I am. You know? So something supernatural means it's above natural. These are not natural things. These are supernatural things that are initiated and operated by the Holy Spirit. Okay? So the second category are the gifts of power, and that consists of the working of miracles, gift of faith, and gifts of healing. Third category are gifts of inspiration. Not perspiration, but inspiration. Or you could say speaking. The gifts of inspiration, they inspire you, okay? These consist of prophecy, different kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues, okay? And we see evidence of these gifts in both the Old and the New Testament. I'm going to ask you a trivia question. What two gifts do not show up in the Old Testament? There are two gifts that we don't see evidence in the Old Testament. Very good, because tongues came after Jesus was died and resurrected, and when the Holy Spirit was poured on, that's when tongues came. So you won't see tongues necessarily in the Old Testament, but you do in the New. All right? So praise God. We're moving right along. Now, these gifts are like equipment. How many has ever traveled anywhere? Okay? Do you ever take anything when you travel? Now, ladies would probably have a 2-to-1 bag ratio to men. Right? So when you travel, there are things that you have to take with you. If you travel out of the country, you're going to need a passport, right? And whenever you travel, you're going to need a suitcase. You're going to need something to contain your stuff, okay? A suitcase, a passport, that's equipment. Spiritual gifts are equipment. God, these are supernatural ways that God equips his children to reach the world. Okay? Because after all, our God is not a wimp. He's a God of power. He loves to demonstrate his power. Even the Apostle Paul said, I don't come to you with eloquent words of man's wisdom, but I come with you with the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And the Holy Spirit, he likes to manifest the power of God. You shall receive what after the Holy Ghost comes on you? Power. So these gifts are supernatural. These gifts are all about the power of God, and they're spiritual equipment. You know, you are equipped. In other words, what does that mean? Is you have the capability to operate in any of these gifts. Any of these 9 gifts, you're equipped already within you right now. You're equipped to operate in these gifts. In other words, you're wired for these gifts. And it's only when Jesus puts in his code that he can operate these gifts. Amen? You're like a secret weapon. Now, these gifts are not limited to this building. These gifts can be operated anywhere. Amen? But this is where we can learn how to operate these gifts. Okay? Welcome to Training Class 101. Okay? So these gifts, there's 9 of them. All right? And let's look at these gifts a little bit closer. Okay? I'm probably only going to get through 3 of them tonight. Okay? Let's look at the word of wisdom. If you've ever noticed in the Bible, there are reasons why God lists things the way he does. Okay? And normally, God lists things in order of importance. All right? Now, there is a scripture that says, seek and desire the best gift. Okay? Now, we could look at this list and we could say, well, the best gift is the word of wisdom because it's at the top of the list. But if you're sick and you need healing, then the word of wisdom wouldn't be the best gift, would it? So your job, you can seek and desire the best gift. Say, Lord, I'm available for you to use. You can, yes, go ahead and say that. Say, I'm available for you to use. You can speak through me. You can demonstrate through me. You can do whatever you need to do through me because I'm available to you. Okay? Just having that availability to God is important. Okay? This word of wisdom, it is a supernatural revelation of the mind and purpose of God communicated to you by the Holy Spirit. How many people in Egypt knew that there was going to be 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine? Only one person. Now that one person had been listening to God as a young teenager. God gave him a dream. So he was already developing his ears to hear when the Spirit is moving. He responded to that dream. He didn't know how that dream was going to take place. He didn't know how his brothers and sisters were going to bow to him. But when the time came, see, God was already going to do this in the earth. This was an established purpose, and God revealed his purpose to Pharaoh. But Pharaoh didn't understand it. Pharaoh saw it. He dreamed it twice, but he didn't understand it. He needed someone to interpret. So here was Joseph. Joseph had been given a supernatural endowment to interpret dreams. And we know from the Bible that when someone interprets dreams, it's by God. It's not by man. So here was Joseph. He had supernatural insight into what God was going to do in the earth. God had revealed one of his purposes that he was going to do. And that is a demonstration of the word of wisdom. He had supernatural revelation of the mind and the purpose of God. See, why is that important? Because it gave Joseph the insight to prepare for what was coming. If they didn't know that there was going to be 7 years of famine following 7 years of plenty, the Egyptians would have partied for 7 years, then they'd have been in trouble. But see, God's people were in Egypt at that time too. And God planted Joseph at the right time, at the right place, then when God was to reveal his plans and purposes, he had a man that he could reveal his things to. And Joseph was put, it's no coincidence that Joseph was put in charge. Because Pharaoh said, how can we find a man in whom the Spirit of God, the Spirit of wisdom is? And there was Joseph. So, you see how it just kind of gives us an idea of how this gift works. See, this is the word of wisdom, it is God's wisdom imparted to man. Notice it calls it a word of wisdom. Joseph used words to interpret the dream, to reveal God's plans. It was a word of wisdom. And it can come through dreams. It can come through visions. It can come through God's voice. God can get the message to you. That's how he gets the message to you is not important. The important thing is that someone on earth receives the message. God needs a man on this earth. Can you say amen? Because way back in the beginning, God's plan was for who to have dominion on this earth. And then man gave his dominion away, right? He did what God said don't do. But when Jesus came back, guess what? Jesus regained our dominion. And when you're in Christ, when you're hooked up with a relationship with Christ and you're walking with God, then you have the dominion that we have in the beginning. Okay? So when the Lord reveals his purpose to an individual, that person possesses a word of God, the word of God on wisdom, a word of God's wisdom. Okay? How many know the story of Sodom and Gomorrah? What was going to happen to Sodom and Gomorrah? Did God share his plan with anybody? He shared it with Abraham. Why? He needed someone to intercede. So, who shared it with Abraham? God and two angels appeared to him. And they were talking. Matter of fact, Abraham entertained them. He fed them. And as they were talking, he said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do?" And instead, he revealed to Abraham what was going to happen to a nation. Why? He needed someone to pray. Unfortunately, Abraham stopped at 10. So there weren't 10 righteous in the city, so the city was still destroyed, but it was revealed to a man so that he could do something about it. Same thing with Jonah, right? Nineveh was scheduled. So God reveals to Jonah, "I want you to go to Nineveh and proclaim the word of God. Because Nineveh is going to be destroyed in 40 days. Tell them in 40 days they're going to be destroyed." God revealed his plan to someone on this earth. That's a word of wisdom. But someone needs to grab a hold of that word. Someone needs to grab a hold. Someone needs to possess when the Spirit of God is moving. He gives gifts to men. These spiritual gifts, God gives to his body so that his body can do something with it. That's like your brain telling your hand to move off the hot stove. If your brain doesn't speak to your hand to move your hot stove, you're going to have some burnt flesh. Same thing is true. God operates the word of wisdom. He gives us insight into his purpose and his plans and his mind so that we can do something about it. The word of wisdom is the foundation of divine commission. It reveals what God wants to do in this earth. Okay? So that's just a little snippet on the word of wisdom. Any questions about the word of wisdom? Well, the thing about the gifts is they can operate together, but they're separate and distinct. Oftentimes with the gifts of healing, what happens is God supernaturally anoints a person, and all they do is they touch a person, and that person is healed. So, yeah, the word of wisdom is divine insight into God's purpose, plans, and his mind of what he wants to do on the earth. Okay? So in other words, God gives us, he gives us insight that we didn't know before, that we didn't see. It's always supernatural. When a spiritual gift is in operation, it's full. It's supernatural. It's the power of God, and it's full on the spot. In other words, you can't study. The time that a person would put into study is not getting a spiritual gift. A spiritual gift happens in the moment. It's all of a sudden revealed. Okay? Joseph was sleeping one night, and all of a sudden, he had a dream. Get to Egypt. Because there's someone that wants to kill the baby. So God used that dream to warn Joseph and Mary to leave the scene so they could be protected. See, because he knew, God knows what the enemy's up to. Okay? So he can use the word of wisdom for protection. He can use it for, a variety of things. Does that help? Okay. Let's go on to the next one. Next one is also a word. It's a word of what? Knowledge. Okay? You can learn the mysteries of God. How many has ever heard the term, God speaks in mysterious ways? Well, but let me tell you the other side of that coin. If you know God, he reveals his mysteries to you. So if he reveals his mysteries to you, is it a mystery anymore? It's only a mystery to those that don't know him. Okay? Or no, the phrase is God works in mysterious ways. Well, that's not really a scripture. Okay, knowledge. This is a companion of the word of wisdom. They're friends, they're cousins. All right, they're family. A word of knowledge also comes by revelation. It's a supernatural revelation of the existence or nature of a person or thing, the knowledge of some event, and it's given to you by the Holy Spirit. As an example, in John 4, what did Jesus say to the woman at the well? He said, go get your husband. But she said, I don't have a husband. He said, you've spoken right. You've had four husbands, and the man you're living with now is not your husband. How did Jesus know that? It was by the Holy Spirit. See, you have to understand, even though Jesus is God, he did not operate as God when he was on this earth. He operated as a man anointed by the Holy Spirit, but he was still God in the sense that he was divine. But Philippians says he gave up his rights and his reputation, right? So everything Jesus did, he did as a man anointed by the Holy Spirit. That gives us hope, because if Jesus did it as a man anointed by the Holy Spirit, that means you and I can do it. Because we're men and women who are anointed. We have the same anointing. We have the same Holy Spirit. So guess what? We can do the same things. Jesus said, the works that I do, he said what? You can do also. Say this, I can do what Jesus did. Because I'm hooked up with the Holy Spirit, and I'm in Christ, and the Word of God dwells in me. Okay. If you read 2 Kings 6, Syria was planning to attack Israel. And it was going to be an ambush. But there was a prophet in Israel named Elisha. And God would speak to Elisha, and he would tell him where Syria was going to attack. So Elisha would go to the king, and he would say, don't go here. Syria's going to attack there. The king would send out scouts or spies, and sure enough, Syria would be there. And the king of Syria, this happened a couple times, he was frustrated. He thought that he had a spy in his own camp. It wasn't a spy at all, but God supernaturally revealed the knowledge of where the enemy was going to be so that he could protect his people. That was a word of knowledge. Syria knew that they were going to attack, but the ones who they were going to attack did not know that they were going to attack. But God revealed that knowledge. He showed Elisha. See, why did he show Elisha? Because Elisha knew how to hear his voice. See, is Elisha different than you and I? No. He was a man anointed as a prophet. Okay? So, but supernaturally, Elisha knew the plans of the enemy. That is a word of knowledge. Same thing with the woman at the well. It's all of a sudden you just know something. It could be a fact. But in one moment it was unknown to you, but when the Holy Spirit shows you, now you know it. And God, Jesus used that knowledge to reach that woman. See, he used the word of knowledge to touch her, to connect with her. And what happened? She then opened the door to Samaria. She told other people, and guess what? The word of God spread. So do you see how everybody benefited from that word of knowledge? It wasn't just, I love this phrase. This is from Howard Carter in his book. Let's see, I have it here. It's Questions and Answers on Spiritual Gifts. And he made this statement. He said, a word of knowledge is participation in the omniscience of God. Does God know the end before the beginning? So, how many know that when Paul was being taken to Rome, he encountered a shipwreck, right? But God gave him a word. He said, no one on the ship is going to lose their life. The ship's going to be broken apart, but no one on the ship's going to lose their life. And guess what? No one lost their life. Because Paul had confidence in the word of knowledge that he received from God. Okay? Did you know that God showed Ananias exactly where Paul lived? Or where Paul was? Where he was staying? Did you know that Ananias didn't have a cell phone or a phone book? But yet God knew exactly where Paul was. So by the word of knowledge, God was able to tell Ananias where Paul was so that Ananias could go lay his hands on Paul, remove the scales from his eyes, get him filled with the Holy Ghost, and jumpstart his ministry. Ananias, God used him to jumpstart Paul's ministry. God spoke to him and said, Paul is on this and this street with this and this person. Go. And he went exactly where God said, and guess what? He found Paul right there. See how the word of knowledge benefited the group, not just the person? Isn't this great? And the word of knowledge, it'll always glorify God. See, there's a reason why God shows you something. There's a reason why he reveals something. Because he wants you to do something with it. He doesn't want you to say, oh my, that's a nice word. You know, oh, that's a beautiful word. Lord, that's, I love the way you say that, Lord. No, he wants you to do something with it. That's why he's showing it to you. And then let's look at the third one. Okay, this is our last one for tonight. He said, to another, faith. Okay? Now, this is not the faith that you get saved with. This is supernatural, mountain-moving faith. It's like all of a sudden, you are supercharged and energized to believe God. Like you get this sudden urge, and you know that you know that you know. That's a gift of faith. Okay? One Dr. Whitby, he called it a peculiar impulse that comes on you when any difficult matter needs to be performed. And you have the inward assurance that God's power would assist you in the performance of it. Why could Daniel pray when he knew there was a law against it? He knew the consequences of someone who would pray to someone else other than the king. He had a gift of faith. How did that gift of faith work? That gift of faith prevented him from being cat food. He even slept in the den of lions. Because the king didn't sleep. He was nervous. He was up all night. And soon as daybreak came, he went to where the den was and he called out to Daniel because he was all nervous. But Daniel, he was just chilling. I'll use a term that Gabriel uses. He was chillaxing. How could he do that? He had supernatural faith. See, when you take a stand for God, he'll take a stand for you. He will back you up when you back him up. Okay? So this faith, it's a supernatural operation of the Holy Spirit, which enables the possessor to sustain unwavering trust in God for personal protection and provision of personal needs. How many know that Jesus paid his taxes? But he didn't always carry money with him. So him and Peter, they appear before the temple. And I guess you were supposed to, at that time, you're supposed to pay a tax. And Jesus was all frazzled and worried, wasn't he? No. He didn't even have a hair out of place. There was no nails gone on his fingernails because he didn't bite his fingernails. What did he say? Peter, go throw your line in, and the first fish you catch is going to have coin in its mouth for you and me to pay our taxes. I mean, naturally, you have no basis that there's going to be coins in a fish mouth and that first fish that you try to catch is going to be full of gold. But supernaturally, see, these gifts, they supersede the natural. They're spiritual. They're powerful. Listen, when these gifts operate, you know that God is doing something and not you. That's what it's all about. These gifts are to point people to God. As I ministered to the men on Saturday, I asked them if they could believe if God said, I want you to drink from a brook and I want you to eat from a raven. I mean, naturally, would you, you know, there's no scripture that says, pray to God and have the birds feed you. But God supernaturally used ravens to bring Elijah food in the morning and in the evening. That was a gift of faith. I mean, it has to be. Who wants to eat what the raven brings? You know, one guy pointed out, he said, the Bible said he'll bring you flesh and bread. That flesh probably wasn't cooked. It was probably a dead animal that the raven just picked up. But it was a gift of faith. Did you know that the gift of faith can cause you to have supernatural transportation? Philip, go get you with that chariot. He's right there. Elijah, when he saw the rain, he ran faster than chariots. The Bible said King Ahab took off, he rode, and Elijah took off on foot, and Elijah beat him. Because all of a sudden, a gift of faith came on Elijah, and he had supernatural transportation. Faster than Usain Bolt. He was the fastest runner in the Olympics. The gift of faith, it brings into operation the invisible and limitless resources of heaven. What do you do when 5,000 people show up for dinner? You look into your cabinets and you see what you have and you believe God for it to multiply. How did that happen? Gift of faith. You mean Jesus operated by the gift of faith? Absolutely. See, he knew what he was going to do. You read that, Bob, Jesus knew what he was going to do. He knew that he was going to multiply someone's lunch. But the people didn't know that. It was revealed to him supernaturally. The gift of faith, it activates the power of blessing of fathers to children. How many know that when biblical dads laid their hands on their children, they blessed them, that blessing was a prophecy that took place. It released power in that blessing. It was a gift of faith. And just make yourself available to God. Just draw near to Him. And that'll put you in a good position to be used by Him in these gifts. Okay? Also, the gift of faith, it manifests to protect you from danger. What did Paul do when he was building a fire and a viper latched onto his hand? He's like, oh my gosh, get the snake kit. Someone suck this out. No, what did he do? Shook it off. You're talking about a poisonous viper. Everybody was looking. Oh, he must be a bad man because he got bit by that viper. And then they looked 5 minutes later. He's not dead. Oh my goodness. What happened? That opened the doors for him to minister on Malta. He just shook that viper off. Listen, a viper can't even latch itself onto you. Supernatural. Our God is a supernatural God. And He has supernatural children. You guys are candidates for the supernatural. Amen? And we want to see the supernatural in operation. Heavenly Father, Lord, we make ourselves available to You tonight as vessels of honor, meet for Your use, prepared unto every good work. Father, I thank You that as we remain full of Your Holy Spirit, Lord, that You will use us in supernatural ways. Father, we make ourselves available for the supernatural. We're a supernatural body of believers. This is a supernatural church, Father. You cause things to come from heaven supernaturally, wonderfully. It causes us to be in awe. You do signs and wonders and miracles in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we give You thanks and praise that as our understanding and our revelation increases in these gifts, Father, we're going to operate in them more. We're going to see them operate in us, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we seek and we desire the best gifts of the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. Here we are, Lord. Send us. Use us. Minister through us. Love through us, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we look to You as the author and the finisher of our faith in the name of Jesus. You equip us. You provide for us. You give to us, Father, this supernatural equipment in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Stir yourself up. You know, some Christians are like Timothy. They had something put in him, but he let it go dormant. And Paul said, stir up the gift of God. You need to stir up the gift. Stir up the gift of God. The greatest gift is the Holy Spirit coming in you, giving life to you, giving power to you. And you can stir yourself up to that gift. Amen? Stir yourself up. Just become sensitive to the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. He can lead and guide and direct. Stir yourself up. It's like building a fire. It starts with kindling and a spark. And you breathe on that spark. And then it begins to be red hot. Then it ignites the kindling. Then you got fire. And once you got the fire built, you can take that fire wherever you go. You need to take that fire. Take that fire. You're like a steam engine. God's putting the coals. He's putting the coals in the engine because he wants it hotter and hotter, because the more heat you have, the more speed you have. Hallelujah. I see you picking up speed. He's shoveling in the coal. Hallelujah. He's shoveling in the coal in the name of Jesus. He wants steam to come forth in Jesus' name. Steam to come forth. Hallelujah. Take possession. When the Holy Spirit operates these gifts, just make yourself available. You'll know when God wants to use you. It's not like a guessing game. God doesn't play a guessing game. Who's he going to use tonight? You know? Listen, he wants to use you anywhere, anytime, any place. Just make yourself available. And we're going to see great things. We'll get into the next three gifts next week, and then the last three. And then I think I'll be done with cooperating with the Holy Spirit, and then whatever the Lord has next. Now, September, on Sundays, our theme is going to be the goodness of God. We're going to talk about our God is good. Amen. Oh, man, he is so good. Father, we give you thanks and praise. Lord, Holy Spirit, bring us into all truth concerning your gifts. Father, let us value your gifts. Let us consider your gifts precious, important. And Father, give us understanding. Give us revelation regarding these gifts. And we trust you, Father. We walk with you. You're so good and gracious. You're an awesome God. Lord, you equip us, prepare us, and send us out. And we thank you, Father, for doing great and mighty things. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Amen. Some of you might have dreams tonight.